where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Hold on to the edge of your seats because you are in for quite the ride. It's time for the Granada Forum Radio Show. Right now, live on air with your hosts, Granada, Wendy.
We on?
Yes, we are.
Okay, so make sure.
That's a good way to start the show. We on?
Yeah. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Granada Forum Radio Program. Today is the 29th of March. It is Good Friday, so happy Good Friday to everybody. Physically,
yeah,
mentally,
good.
And spiritually. You're going to need it. This is Revolution Radio. What did you say?
They can call it Good Friday, but how good was it for the guy they nailed to a stick? But that wasn't a good day for him.
Yeah, who's coming up with this stupid stuff?
Okay.
Really, I'm embarrassed.
Okay.
Good Friday.
This is Revolution Radio. We are the number one commercial-free, listener-supported internet talk radio station in the world. We're located at freedomslips.org. That's O-R-G and freedomslips.net, N-E-T. So freedomslips.org and freedomslips.net. Also, you can find us on revolution.radio. That's revolution.radio. iTunes, Roku, and TalkStream Live. There you go.
Wow, you got them all.
Yeah. I want to say that a lot of things have happened in the last couple of days. Tremendous amounts of information we're going to be giving out. I'm going to pass the baton real quick to John, and then Nick's going to read something and then go into a couple of things that's going on. And then we'll get Mark on at 8. It should be a barn burner, to say the least, because we're going to give a lot of good information out. And it just, unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, is probably not good. It's probably not great news, but stuff you have to hear because of the mainstream media, which is totally censoring everything. So we're trying to make sure that everybody at least understands what's going on. Okay, John, I'm going to pass the baton to you, but I want to tell you something. A little sunshine yesterday and today, by early in the morning, they start camming us in the valley. It's so big. It's so huge. It's not even that high. By 1:30 in the afternoon, or 2 o'clock, by a little after 2, the it wasn't even like maybe 70 degrees or something. It the wind came up. It dropped in temperature by 10 degrees. It's freezing out. Usually on Easter weekend, Good Friday, it's 78, 80 degrees. You know, at night you got to put on a windbreaker, but you know, it's not 50s in the 50s, John. It's just freezing and cold. And we're supposed to get rain tonight and tomorrow and into Monday, and then Monday cleared. But I know they had a deep freeze in the Midwest just a few last weekend. They got snow and horrible, just horrendous weather. But we just got crazy weather. But the chem, what I've noticed, John, real quick, is that by 6 or 7, you have to lay down for you're out for a couple of hours. You wake up maybe somewhere between 11 and 2 in the morning or 10 and 1, and it's crazy.
Yeah, that's changed our sleeping habits for sure. Because they're putting us to sleep with this stuff. Okay, what we're looking at, if you're in Los Angeles, right now you're looking at a sky that's been microwaved with HARP frequencies. It looks like cotton fields are growing across your sky. Of course, they're not. But they're making either they're making a really bad windstorm or rain event, or so, you know what's weird about this stuff is sometimes it'll look like they're making the biggest rain event and storm, and then you'll find out that they're actually taking it away. It was coming in to California and they're taking it away, so they're drying it up with microwaves. So you know, you never really know exactly what these clouds are up to up there, but they're spraying a lot of orange chemicals. You'll see those tonight, guys, if you're looking up. And I would love to hear what other people are getting right now. I mean, other
give out your website, John.
Oh yeah, I recorded something. You can see it tonight. You can, and my website is, it's a YouTube page. It's just John Graff, YouTube, John JohnGraff, and that's pretty much it. But just take a look at there. I'm trying to cover every night and day of these psycho, pathetic monsters above us that are ruining the air we're breathing, screwing our grandkids up and regular kids, everybody, actually. So we're being hit very hard lately. So they got definitely got some crap planned here. And I've awakened a few people lately, which is nice, you know, because sometimes you can't say it's not there.
Right.
You know, you can't say it. I've had a couple of people, and I showed them a couple of my videos, and they just go, holy crap, how do they get away with that stuff? Good question. I like that. But go to Peggy Hall, by the way, YouTube, Peggy Hall. Peggy Hall, the Healthy American, okay, on YouTube. And she is covering this stuff in a big way, this whole thing. And it's really getting the people that didn't believe it to believe it. Because she's usually really serious about all this stuff. She's also covering that bridge thing that fell down, and she's calling some horse poo-poo on that one, too. That whole thing is some kind of a rigged something to distract whatever, because there was nobody there. There's no names of the pilot of the boat or wherever he is, the captain of the boat. None of that stuff. There's no information like that. Like, if there was a plane crash, you usually hear, oh, Captain Skidmark was flying this thing. You know, but this, you got no information on this. It just happened, and it's really creepy. So you might want to look into that. Peggy Hall.
Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about that tonight. Sure, trust me.
Yeah.
Got some information.
Good. Yeah, it's a bunch of crap. But anyway, your skies are fake tonight. Enjoy it. And that's all I got to say here. Microwave City, man, it's everywhere. We are getting screwed in a major way, guys. If you're sick, you can look up and blame it on them. Tell your doctor, because he won't believe you. He'll give you a million.
I know. Well, I had a couple times this week give my mom a little Sudafed because her nose was dripping. I've had the frog in my throat all week. I've been coughing, John, but not from my chest, just to clear my throat.
Yeah. I'd be careful with over-the-counter anything.
Yeah.
Over-the-counter stuff just scares me away. So it just does, because I know who's making it, you know? But anyway, sky's looking bad tonight. So what do we got tonight on the show? What are we going to cover tonight? Because this is, it's always fun, you know?
Mark comes on at 8, We weren't able to give a piece, a clip to Nick that we got, got some information a couple of nights ago. Immediately, it's on Cliff Hyde. It's a special report. Red gave us this information. They gave it to Mark. Me and Mark listened to most of the interview. It's a special report on Cliff Hyde about 2 days ago. Pretty amazing. They went into major things. We'll be trying to play some of that tonight on the show. We'll also make sure that Nick gets sent the clip as well if he's not looking for it right now. Also, Deborah Tavares called us today and been sending me and Bob stuff. They are sending homeless people to Hawaii on a one-way ticket with no money, no food, no home, no job, and no water. They get off the airplane, and so Hawaii is being hit now with homeless because they're paying for the plane ticket and just go. That's going to be an interesting thing. Also, Deborah Tavares called us today, Bob did send this to Nick, so Nick is going to read about what happened in California into the Oregon borders. They have a national disaster going on right now because of them. We'll have a Nick read this and tell people about it. And we'll try to do some of the Cliff Hyde interview when Mark comes on at 8. Mark's listening right now. He's probably prepping. So we've got a couple of two great big stories to tell you, and then I know Nick has got a few other things. So, Nick, you're the man of the hour right now.
Did you talk to Deborah by any chance? I just wanted to hear what she thought, because her friend was Jamie Lee, and since he passed away.
She was one of the very few last people that saw Jamie Lee alive. Unfortunately, the last year or so, Jamie got hit with a lot of frequency.
Uh-huh. I bet he did. He talked about that many times.
And basically he got hit, was getting hit with so much frequency. I'm wearing a few medallions because it's so crazy out there. I'm wearing a few medallions, if they want to target you, if they want to go after you, people don't understand. He was definitely killed, by frequency.
I think so.
And unfortunately he's passed, and he's a hero. That's another hero that's been lost at the side, but not forgotten. Deborah gets hit constantly with frequency. She does. She's attacked. Her websites are attacked. www.stopthecrime.net. They take stuff off her all the time. She's battling them 24/7. But in Jamie Lee's case, basically he passed, and because he was getting hit with so much frequency, and he wasn't able to fight them off anymore. So he's with God, and he's with he's in another journey. So we wish him, we miss him, and but he won't be forgotten. It's a very, very sad Nick, we're going to hear about lots of people passing, because it's a full on war, John, physically, mentally, and spiritually.
Yes, when people say, when's World War III coming? What year? We're in it. Most people don't know they are, but they are.
They are.
Really sad. They're going to concentrate on the little holidays and all that. But we have to pay attention. What's going on? We're being attacked by these creepy scumbags from every angle. Food, air, water.
Nick, handsome, I know you're probably in the background right now, but we're going to hand the baton for you, to read what Deborah sent you. I know you got a couple of other things too, though.
Yeah, that video, the one that you're talking about, is that the one with the enhanced imagery on the Francis Scott Key Bridge? Cargo ship hitting the bridge and it all falls down.
Yeah, I think that was a special report by Cliff Hyde. Yes.
Okay. I don't know. It didn't say the guy's name. All I saw was this, like, somebody ran the footage through a computer and color spectrumed it so that you could actually see everything.
Yeah.
And apparently the lights on the ship flickered. They went off, they went on, and then they went back off again. And it almost looked like the ship steered into the pylon.
It did. They hijacked through the computer, Nick. they hijacked through the navigational computer on the ship. And they talked about this, I heard, 6 or 7 years ago, between 5 and 7 years ago, on open lines on many different networks, and that they're able to break in to the computers, and that's exactly what happened. They took over the ship, and that's exactly what happened. The ship was hijacked in the navigational system. That seems to be apparent.
Yeah, they need to remove all the Wi-Fi stuff off of that. And
I agree.
This is going to come out of left field, and I don't think anybody was really paying attention to it. But we're kind of seeing, and it might be part of that predictive programming that you'll see on TV shows. But the second Battlestar Galactica series that came up, the one with Edward James Olmos and all of that, the Cylon used to be, the way they could attack the ships is they would hit a computer system. Didn't matter which one it was.
Right.
And because they were all networked throughout the ship, they could hit everything and shut everything down.
Right.
And so on the one namesake ship, you know, the Battlestar Galactica, the commander, played by Edward James Olmos, was essentially saying there will be no networked computer systems on this ship. Okay,
right.
That way they can't hit one and kill everything else. I mean, it's kind of that predictive programming thing. So if this was an actual cyber attack on this boat, and they have the ability to shut down the entire boat,
correct,
and kill the power systems on it, it's kind of like, you guys may need to want to rethink the way you set these computer systems on the ships up.
And also, too, all these people driving these electric cars with the computers are
absolutely
beyond words right now.
One EMP pulse in your electric car is a paperweight. Okay, it's not heavy enough to be a boat anchor, so it's a paperweight.
Pretty much. Yes.
Look at the damage that was done with this. It wasn't just the fact they knocked out a bridge. Okay, big whoop, you know. You divert traffic around, you fix the bridge, and Bob's your uncle. Okay. Normally, that would be the way it would be. The thing about it is, where that bridge came down, that is one of the major import-export sites on the East Coast.
That's correct.
I found this out a little bit later. So now they're having to try to figure out where to send all these other cargo ships with, you know, to unload and all of that, while at the same time having to deal with their normal cargo traffic that they have.
Yeah.
Now think about this, because this has been going on for a little bit. The disruption to the supply chain for companies in this country right now just took a major hit. Not that because of Biden's expert handling of the economy and all that, supply chain was already disrupted, right?
Dickhead. Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, this is a domino effect. It isn't like, oh, we hit a thing, the bridge fell down, you know, get some cranes in there, move the stuff out of the way, and get traffic moving again. This is a lot bigger repercussions than just a boating accident.
You know there's a reason for it, but nobody. Where's the crew? The crew of this thing?
Well, where's the backup systems? Where's the manual backup systems on this? I'm not going to claim. I'm not an expert in cargo ship
design.
But they've
gone under that bridge a million times. All of a sudden,
and there wasn't a harbor ship to take these guys in. And I've also heard, there's a battleship that is stuck on the other side and it can't get out because there's a battle, at least one battleship, and I'm thinking, a battleship's a pretty good sized boat, you know, that's no little Winnie, that's a good sized piece of hardware. It is stuck in the harbor, it cannot move. The thing about this is too. You would think Biden, this is because this hasn't been said, but I mean, if I was the president, this is what I'd be doing. I would literally call the military corps of engineers, and if you have to have three crews going simultaneously, Nick,
you bet your ass I'd be doing it. Yeah, but you got to remember who's in charge of that part of the government. You know, the guy who watched a train crash in East Palestine, Ohio. The guy who's watching the Boeing airplanes fall apart in the sky.
Right.
And the guy who watches a boat hit a bridge and it falls down. And what's he doing? Me and my husband just named our baby whatever. Look at me and my husband with our new adopted son. You know, he's more interested in that shit than he is about – he doesn't know – number one, he doesn't know shit about transportation.
Right.
Okay, he doesn't know how to fix the issues that are going on. And quite frankly, as far as I can tell, he doesn't even care. Nobody in this administration gives a shit about what their job is.
No.
Okay, it's as long as we got the DEI hires going, we're all good. As long as we meet that DEI quota, then everything's good on paper. So everything's great. Yeah, everything's like blowing up and crashing into stuff. Yes, but we're diverse and we're equitable and we're inclusive. So that's what counts.
I would have called the
military corps of engineers. And I mean, I would have said, I wouldn't have called just them.
I would have called in like anybody in that area who can do the job. Let's coordinate. Let's get this thing pulled out of the damn water, however we have to, and start reconstruction on it.
There's something very phony about the whole thing. Just when I was looking at it, I'm going, they're pulling some
I think the bridge fell less than 5 to 8 seconds, John. The video that they showed there was
really sped up because I saw the actual video footage of the bridge coming down, and it doesn't just drop into the water like that. It tears itself apart little bit by little bit.
There was nobody on the bridge right at the time. It was clear.
I don't know what was going on.
I heard there were there was only one or two survivor and the rest that unfortunately they're deceased, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, there's something
there's something fishy about the whole thing. I mean,
That idiot Joe Biden, that monumental catastrophe of intellect, gets out there and he's like, yeah, I remember taking the train across the Francis Scott Key Bridge. It's like, ass bag, there's no tracks on it. How did you take a train?
Oh my God.
Picture him. He looks like Fire Marshal Bill. Remember him?
Yeah. Let me show you something.
Yeah. That's what I think of when I see him, is that. He's such a moron.
I always think of the guy from Poltergeist 2.
That guy. Preacher? What a creep.
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, come on. This guy is remembering shit that never happened, and the entire DC establishment is covering for him, and everybody knows he's a goddamn moron. I mean,
they have to know. How do you not know?
They do know, but they're covering for him because they don't want to make themselves look like, no, we're still strong. No, you're about as weak as Pee Wee Herman boxing Mike Tyson in his prime. Okay.
Yeah. It is. It's a joke. But it can only go so far. It's embarrassing. And this
it's beyond embarrassing at this point. What are they going to do for an encore? Are they going to, like, lose a nuclear missile on one of our highways and watch it disintegrate some town and right outside some major city?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I swear to God, at this point in time, Gene Hackman, Ned Beatty, and that hot chick, Valerie Perrine, could actually pull off hijacking a couple of nuclear missiles.
Yeah. it ain't happening. These guys, I think the nuclear missiles are gone. But they put Biden in there, and to me, he is a nuclear missile because he's the dopiest thing I've ever seen.
We ought to strap him to one of those things when they launch and tell him he's Slim Pickens. Go ahead.
Slim Pickens, that's right. He'd like that. Are you kidding me?
He'd be there, put a saddle on it, and he'd think he's riding it. Like, dude, we're just making a movie. Yahoo!
Yeah, he'd have his little poop bag hanging out. Yeah. Great.
Our government is such a complete disaster at this point. It's beyond stupid.
It's a cartoon, and it's testing us to see how good the fluoride is.
Yeah, but it's not a funny cartoon. This isn't like Bugs Roadrunner cartoons. This is like any of those nuke stupid ones that they put out.
No, those are... Roadrunner.
I mean, our government is like watching the Teletubbies on acid, okay?
Yeah, it pretty much is. Not that I've done that. But this is a joke. Everywhere you look, you go, I'm not going to believe that. Any disaster that happens, anything on the news, you automatically we're now programmed to go, it's horse crap. Horse crap.
We're programmed to do it. It's like simple observation has made us.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. That's what I mean in a good way, programmed, because we're used to it.
And they've lied to us so much that we can't believe a word that they say. I mean, nothing.
Just keep going. Yeah, I'm not buying it.
And you got that stupid Sideshow Bob Muppet for the press secretary who refuses to answer any questions.
Right? That's always fun. Yeah,
What happened about this thing with Joe Biden not being able to think straight? We're not talking about that. Everybody, because we all think that he's smart. But he's not smart. He's stupid. I said I'm not talking about that. What can you talk about? But did you know
we're
I'm a lesbian? It's like, yeah, we know.
Yeah, nice secret you're holding there. Yeah, this is
good. It's no secret when you come in with your breath smelling like tuna and a curly Q mustache you got going there. So we kind of got that part figured out.
Hold your ears, Wendy. This is nasty.
I don't want to be nice anymore. I say about these people, because as bad as anything that we could ever say, everything that they do is worse.
I know. And of course, I'm not offended. Believe me, I'm liking it. I'm laughing. So, I'm just embarrassed.
We just spread dioxin all over this part of Ohio. But damn it, if you ever point out that Bodie Gig is gay. It's like, fuck. Yeah, we just annihilated a bridge in Maryland and cut off a major port and disrupted the supply chain to all these companies around the country. But damn it, if you point out that Buddy Gig is gay.
We would not want that. I'm not buying any of that ship and the bridge. The whole thing is a Alan Funt.
I don't believe anything the government tells me anymore.
No,
it's a power failure. In the ship, it's like, okay, what caused it? Well, we're investigating it. Uh-huh. Okay. Can we bring up the idea that it may have been an outside source that did it?
Uh-huh.
No, you conspiracy theorist.
Yeah. Like, we're going to investigate it until we forget about it.
I don't wear that hat anymore, so.
Yeah, this is what they do. They investigate this stuff until we forget about it, and then it just goes, blows away in the wind. You know, most of this crazy crap. I mean, I'm sick of this, but that whole shit.
You know what conspiracy theorist stands for now? I was right before, and I'll be right again. Okay, it's really kind of interesting when all those conspiracy theories come true.
Well, which they are, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, the other thing that we got, I think this is the one that Deborah Tavares sent.
Yeah.
Was the one about the Klamath River dam system that's getting
done. Yeah.
Oh my God, what the hell they're doing there? And remember, these are environmentalists.
Oh yeah,
they're doing.
You need to read it, Mark. I mean, you need to read it, Nick.
Yeah. Hold on.
You environmentalist? exist anymore. I really don't think
this came about because of the environmentalists. So this is a good thing. You can't say anything bad about it.
Okay.
So they got this thing. The Klamath River in New York,
in California.
I don't know why I said New York, but somebody just brung in on. Yeah. Somebody's messaging me while I'm trying to read this thing.
Okay.
So the Klamath River is actually a really long river system.
It goes through upstate. Too.
Goes right through the very top of Northern California. And a while back, they put in a series of dams in there for hydroelectric and all the rest of the stuff. So they got the bright idea because the dams were pretty old and probably not being used other months. Let's all take it down, take the dam systems down, and let the river flow free and let everything be wonderful again, just like nature intended. Except for the fact that they didn't probably test the sediments out that usually come along and settle at the base of the dams on the lake side of it.
They tested in 2009 and 11, and they said it's in the article that you sent. And what happened was in the 2009-2011, they said, "Listen, this is very, very toxic stuff. You can't do this." So that's what they came up with. They said, "Look, you can let some of the water out in like 7 to 8 months until the sit in the bottom is just dry, and they'll try to go in and just scrape it off or whatever."
But this is very toxic stuff.
But instead, they literally let the water out within, I guess, a couple of days. So continue, Nick.
So this is what they found: lead, aluminum, arsenic. Right.
Yep.
Those are the three big ones. Not to mention the fact that the sediment was comprised mostly of clay.
Right.
And if you know anything about clay, the reason clay packs as tight as it does is because the particles are really, really small. So when they bled off all the water down the river, well, the clay stuck to the gills of the fish and it killed all the fish.
And you're talking, I think, in the fish, Nick, if I'm not mistaken, the fish, and it was like 850,000 or something fish that are gone.
They let all these little hatched salmon from a hatchery go into the river. It's like, fly, little friends, be free. Yeah, all 850,000 of them died.
Yeah, plus some beaver. The fish, plant life. Completely contaminated. You cannot drink the water. You can't swim in it. You can't even. This is an emergency state alert that's going on up in the Klamath.
Here's how this goes. In Siskiyou County, California, the residents, this is what they say, the residents should not be in or drink the water from the Klamath River to high levels of arsenic, lead, and aluminum. Said the environmental health from Siskiyou County. Activists favoring the dam removal seem to be hypnotically willing to look past any and all unintended adverse impacts that have unfolded and are further unfolding. In other words, they're poisoning the river.
They also found DDT and BBB and one other substance in the dam.
Yeah, I think they said it was PCBs. I'll get to that part in a second.
Yeah.
So they had a big old powwow with the Board of Supervisors. Just the day before they had that, adult beaver was found dead 4 miles below the Iron Gate Dam, which is adding to the death toll that's going on from aquatic animals, terrestrial animals, and as a result of the released polluted sediments from the Klamath dams, as they are tearing it down under something called the Klamath River Renewal Corporation, which is doing the dam removal. Says, of course, Department of Fish and Wildlife. This is the one in February, just this last February. just over a month ago now, they dumped 850,000 Fall Run Chinook salmon fry into the Klamath River through a tributary in Fall Creek, which is about 10 miles upriver from the Iron Gate Dam. A few days later, the Fish and Wildlife admitted that all those fish were dead. Many of the residents on the river, including river guides, believe all the little fish all dead were died due to extreme pollution resulting from the eroding clay sediments from the newly exposed lake bottoms of the former Capco and Iron Gate lakes. They did a study. Yeah, they did a study in 2006, which stated that the lake bed sediments in the Capco and Iron Gate lakes are 78% clay. So it's important that the clay is the smallest and stickiest of any sediment class, making it impossible for aquatic life to exchange oxygen when their gills become coated with it.
See, you're looking at the end of everything. This is what these a-holes are up to.
This is what they do. This makes, what was it, Flint, Michigan, look like a cakewalk.
Oh, yeah. And the thing about this is, when they had this meeting, this Branson guy, they didn't even say they're sorry. There's no apologetic. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
They're evil dickholes.
Yeah, it's just complete evil, right? Yeah.
Straight up.
So they
had
had a big powwow with the board and a couple of other agencies and the company that was doing it. And a bunch of the residents, they testified as having suffered insult or injury as a result of the unexpected and unintended consequences, because nobody ever looks forward, as part of the dam removal project. In addition to the KIRC's apparent lack of consideration, collaboration, transparency, according to the testimony from several citizens living on and around the now-drained, sediment-filled lakes and the Klamath River. Throughout the proceeding, Mark Branson, who was the CEO of KIRC, never offered an apology to the community other than saying what has happened was regrettable. Typical, right?
Oh, yeah, typical.
By the way, Mark Branson guy continued to deny that the lake bed sediments are polluted.
Oh, God.
Plus, they also did this other thing as they were trying to mitigate the damage. And this is like a really old system where dilution is the solution to pollution, which means just add more water to it and it'll become safe.
That's a good idea.
It doesn't work.
Oh, my God.
Total turd whistles. This is amazing what we're dealing with here. World falling apart.
You're dealing with a bunch of Nazis.
Everybody's a monster. Oh, they're beyond that.
They're satanic monsters. They're satanic monsters for sure.
Well, here's the thing. I'm still going on with it. The stated goal of the dam removal was to improve the ecology and hopefully the salmon habitat and populations in the river basin. But does that make any sense whatsoever to knowingly allow any pollutants that can be mitigated into enter into the system? No, of course it doesn't. But that's exactly what they're seeing and hearing about. And what they're doing is they're having a total cover-up of the pollutants in the lake bed sediments. This is not new. Companies, corporations have been doing this for a long time.
Well, sadly, that's true.
And these lake bed sediments, which are being allowed to continually poison the Klamath River and all the life forms in it. So new policy arguments stemming from science are now condemning dilution as a solution for pollution. Well, of course, they should have done that a long time ago. Mark Branson, the CEO, continues to argue that there are no toxins in the estimated 15 million cubic yards of sediments remaining in the lake beds of Copco and Iron Gate Lakes. They ought to do like Aaron Brockovich on him and bring him a glass of water from one of those basins. Say, if there's no toxins in it, drink it.
Yeah. He would be my guy.
Cool yourself down there, pal.
Like the glyphosate guy. Well, why don't you drink some then? Well, I'm not stupid.
So anyway, the scientists that compiled the C.D.M. Smith study suggested that the numerous toxins they found in the lake bed sediments might be mitigated to some extent or another. Yeah, via dilution, which doesn't work.
Give them all enemas with that stuff. This is ridiculous.
Then they also had a sales pitch by the Resource Environmental Services.
Oh, good.
Which is a contractor of KRRC and Mark Branson. That, according to them, by spreading seeds on the polluted sediments through helicopters and tossing them by hand, that the 15 million cubic yards of remaining clay sediments will somehow magically be stabilized against floods that can scour the canyons where the lake bed sediments remain. Yeah, because
that is this real? What you're reading right now?
Yeah, no, this is this is
real. Yeah.
I'm falling asleep with this fairy tale because it's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life.
This is an article out of the California Globe.
Oh well, we can trust that, I'm sure.
Well, I don't know who they are,
I don't either, and I don't like what I'm hearing. And the fish are swimming around with Play-Doh stuck in their gills.
Well, this is a very biased article. It's very much against the local government and the contractors that are doing this when they're saying that there's no pollutants in it.
Well, it should be.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's good then. But still, this is getting...
Well, it's not even that you have to be like an environmentalist or any of that, or you have to be on the corporate side of it to butt heads on those arguments. The facts, the facts don't lie. If there's toxins in there, there's toxins in there. Now, what are you going to do to clean it up? Okay, that's the only question. What are you going to do to clean up? Well, we're going to pour more water on it. No, you effing moron. You pour water on the shit, it's going to wash it down into the river more. So what are you going to do to clean it up?
Holy crap.
They're just trying to sweep the whole thing under the rug and hope it goes away is what they're doing.
Well, they're like they do everything.
Yeah.
You know? It's like any of these disasters
that happen, if it's natural or not, most of them are not. But look what, excuse me, hold on. So look what happened in Hinckley, California, when they were dumping all that chromium 6 into those collection pools.
Right.
Of course, it's not going to leak in the ground because we took every precaution until it leaked into the ground. And then what did PG&E do? They continued to deny that it was there in the face of every bit of evidence that it was there. And the fact that everybody in Hinckley was getting terminal cancer.
Yeah, nice. Nothing weird about
that. Flint, Michigan. Let's turn we got to fix the plumbing system that we have, the major pipes. So let's just put the water through the old pipes, which are lead and had oxidized over the years. But nothing is wrong until everybody started getting sick from lead poisoning.
Yeah, no problem.
East Palestine. A train tipped over with this stuff in it. And it's like, well, let's just clean it up. No, let's set it on fire. We can spread dioxin all over the place. Yeah, but we're going to deny that that's going to have any detrimental effect on anything until people start dying from it. I mean, this is routine. This happens all the time. And the only people that get screwed on it is you, me, everybody in the area that it happened. And then they just go on their merry way. Here's some money. Shut up and go away. Oh, yeah. In order to get this money, you have to sign this agreement that you won't ever try to sue us again. And you can't talk to the press about it.
Oh, yeah. Good.
So.
Yeah, this is too much.
Meanwhile, everything in the area is getting killed.
Yeah.
It's like, you knew the stuff was there. There was a study done in 2006. You have to take samples of the... Because if you ever look at the way a dam works, usually the stuff that would wash downstream naturally is all being piled up at the base of the dam.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Now, if you've got all that other shit in there, I don't know where it came from. I don't know where the leads and the arsenics and all the rest of it came from. Maybe people pouring shit into the river. I don't know. Maybe it's natural. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is that it's there. You know it's there. You know it's at dangerous levels. Clean it up.
Please. That would be nice.
I mean, the same government. I mean, different people, but the same government that authorized to put the dams there in the first place will clean it up. Now it's your job.
Nobody accepts responsibility
can't do that.
For anything.
We can't do that. We have San Francisco to ignore.
Yeah, right. That's
so,
pretty much it. I mean
this is what our government and when these – and again, I'm not against the government. I'm not against companies doing things. But if you screw up, you know, own it and say, okay, we're taking care of it.
Well, most of it is intentional. I mean, they're not screwing up by doing –
Yeah, well, that's the other part, the intent part of it.
Everything that they're doing, they're spraying. They're not going to say, excuse me, we didn't mean to do that. We'll fix it. No.
Oh, they're going to try to convince you it was for your own good.
Of course they are.
Then they're,
they're going to
say that, yes, we've tested it. There aren't any. Well, we found some. Yes, but it's not enough to be dangerous. Yeah, we found out that it is enough to be dangerous. Well, our guys say otherwise. And how much are you paying your guys to say that?
Right. Here we go. See?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what's really weird right now? Just let me tell you real quick. I'm looking at our sky, and there's these giant orange globs in the sky. There's a white background.
Those are there for your sake.
They are, I know. But they're, they're really creepy orange. I mean, like the sun was hitting them, but they're just sitting there. I'm taking pictures of it, and it's unbelievable. This is chemical reaction to everything, and this is bullshit. I'm really, this is a heavy duty right now. How people are not seeing this? The sun's been down for what, 2 hours?
I have no idea. It's been down longer here, so.
Yeah, well, there you go. See, it's just they're sitting up there like these orange globs, right. This giant shit. And
well, the thing is that with something like what's going on in Klamath. The fact is that whether they intended to do it or not, the fact is they don't want to own up to it. They don't want to spend the money to clean it up. They want to claim, oh, we're being environmentalists and we're tearing the dams down so the fishies can live. Meanwhile, they're killing the fish, the crayfish, the beavers, the raccoons, probably everything else that comes down and relies on that water for survival. They're going to kill off, and they're simply going to wash their hands of it. And good luck getting a government bureaucracy to do anything about it. Oh, we're going to fine them $1 million. They just made like $3 billion off of it. Yeah, but we're going to fine them $1 million so everything is settled and all good. It's like, no, the damn thing's still polluted. Hey, look, we said we fined them $1 million. What do you want us to do?
That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Anymore.
They're going to make some meaningless gesture on their part to say everything is okay and cool and you're good with it, right? No. Okay, but you're good with it, right? No, I'm not. Right. But you're good with it, right? You know, that's how they do that. And I absolutely hate bureaucrats to the nth degree because it's like talking to a brick wall. They don't care anyway.
That's
so
how they do it.
It's there's no point in trying to convince a bureaucrat. The only way you're going to convince a bureaucrat is with a baseball bat upside the head. Period. I mean, sorry, that's how thick their heads are. That they simply do not want to. They don't believe they're answerable to you, so they don't care.
That's what we're dealing with. And some people buy into it. But what we're doing is we're witnessing the Earth being killed off. Like you said, they're being killed off. And here we are arguing about politics while these psychos.
Well, it's because we're arguing the politics of it is because the politics are the ones causing it.
Well, they're distracting it, too. They can say whatever they want. And
this is why I hate politicians and I hate bureaucrats because
I do, too. I absolutely hate them more than I've ever hated them because they're fake and phony and they know the world's being slaughtered. None of them had mentioned one spraying plane once. None.
Yeah. And in the meantime, the law enforcement side of everything, they're going after people who post tweets that they don't like.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, why are you spraying the sky?
And this guy just like annihilated an entire river, you know, in violation of all EPA standards that you could possibly think of. Yeah, but you wrote a mean tweet, so we're coming and we're questioning you.
Yeah, we got to watch you. You caught on to our shit. Yeah. No, I'm so done with everything. You can't win. You just can't win. You're the criminal if you're trying to protect people.
Hey, Wendy, what time is Mark supposed to come on? Wendy?
Yeah. Mark's going to come on at 8.
Is it? Okay. I didn't want to make sure. I didn't miss him.
How many minutes before the break, Nick?
We got like 7 minutes.
Listen, did you want to play a clip or see something else, too? There's another thing that you did some research on?
Well, yeah, I just wanted to – I was actually trying to segue into this a little bit.
Okay.
When I talked about law enforcement going and visiting you because you did a mean tweet, they actually did.
Yes.
They actually did. This apparently this girl got murdered. Okay, where is the part where she talks about the guy? Okay, so she went out to apparently this woman's cousin went out to some casino in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And this guy kidnapped her, killed her, dumped her body. Didn't say whether or not he raped her or anything like that. But, you know, it was pretty cold-blooded. And he got to walk on probation.
What?
And so the woman...
Really?
Oh, yeah, and he had a rap sheet, too. It wasn't like it was his first time doing anything. So she put out a tweet criticizing the whole thing, you know, put the guy's picture up, and you know, her tweet said, "This monster drugged my 27-year-old cousin at the casino in Baton Rouge. He dumped her half-naked dead body like trash, a rap sheet a mile long. He walks in on probation." And then she names the guy, Damian Matthews, may you reap what you have sown. Oh, wow, yeah, then guess what? FBI comes knocking on her door. Yeah, we need to talk to you about this. It's like, that guy's walking around free, and you two assholes are standing on my doorstep about a tweet that I put out?
Holy crap. Yeah,
yep.
That is very creepy.
Yeah.
Wow, we're dealing with some psychoville going the wrong way here. This is not right.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That is what's called weaponized
forever.
FBI.
Well, there you go.
And the FBI, after the major F-ups that they have been doing over the past 10, 15 years or so, they need to have their budget cut. I mean, oh, my God, you can't cut law enforcement. Yeah, you can when they're being weaponized like the damn Gestapo against people, the citizens of this country, who dare to speak up against the official narrative of anything at all. Okay,
yeah,
the ATF, number one, needs to be disbanded altogether. I mean, they just need to be dissolved and be thrown away and let their ATF agents learn to code or something, because they don't deserve any position anywhere in government. Now, the FBI, I mean, they're worse than when Hoover, you know, that dress-wearing homo, closeted homo, was out there running the show. They're worse than that now.
Oh, yeah. It's corruption.
They are a political weapon against the administration.
Yeah.
No, for the administration, excuse me.
Yeah.
Who's not? I mean, there's so many.
Yeah, they're all pretty much.
Every clean air agency, anybody, they're all weapons against us because they won't do a damn thing. None of them.
And it's all about
I've called
money.
FAA, I've called them all. Well, they're afraid.
John, you mentioned the FAA. Nick has an article that he needs to tell you.
Okay, good.
About the FAA?
Yes,
yeah, they're not going to take – you don't have to have consent.
Oh, that's the FDA.
Oh, well, FDA. Excuse me, FDA.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. This one's really good. I got a couple of minutes to do it here. Here it is. So, pop-ups, I hate pop-ups. So, on 22nd of January of this year, a ruling by the United States Health and Human Services and the FDA came into effect, and it allows an exemption from obtaining informed consent in the clinical investigations deemed minimal risk. In other words, they don't have to tell you shit.
That's nice. Oh, that is nice.
So if they're doing clinical trials on anything at all, they don't have to tell you what the risks that might be involved with it are. Nuremberg Code says, yeah, you do. You have to be informed on anything so you can decide whether or not the risk-benefit is there. You can weigh the whole thing and decide that whether or not it's worth the $50 that they're going to pay you to stick you with 50,000 needles.
Yeah, wow.
So basically, they can experiment on you like Joseph Mengele, and if you go ahead and go along with it, even if they don't tell you everything, there's nothing you can do about it.
How sick is that?
That is damn sick.
Yeah, let me tell you something. Nick, I'm taking more of my supplements every day, just trying to physically, mentally stay what I can, but I am staying away from doctors, from hospitals. I don't go anywhere near.
It's like Richard Pryor said. Like Richard Pryor said, you don't want to go to the hospital. People die in the hospital.
Yeah, that's true. I remember that, man, when he had the heart attack.
So here's the other thing, though, because I haven't read this ruling. I haven't seen the paperwork on it, but what do they mean? What is the definition of minimal risk?
To who?
That's what they say, because if the clinical investigation, trial that they're doing is deemed a minimal risk, what define minimal risk? What is the definition of minimal risk? What does that constitute?
God. Oh my Lord. Yeah, and I'll tell you something. You'd have to be crazy to try to do studies now.
You should never.
God only knows what they're going to put in you.
Sir, you have like tomorrow to live. Yeah, you still ain't doing that shit to me. Thanks anyway.
We'll be right back with more. Hold on, ladies and gentlemen. This is Granada Forum Radio Program. This is Revolution Radio with Nick Pierce and John, myself. We'll be right back. Hold on.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message. It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
No problem.
Yeah. Got some good information out for some people, Klamath, and part of the thing, the stuff in the Baltimore and the FDA, when they can just do things. It's just crazy. The stuff that's going on now is just absolutely absurd.
Thank you so much for calling.
Call him back.
How dare you?
Oh.
Anybody listening from Los Angeles, look at your sky. It's fake as hell.
if you think
those are clouds, I'll kiss a giraffe's ass right now. They're not clouds. Look at them.
Oh.
Please, people, help us out here. Sorry.
Ay.
My drugs kicked in. Where's Nick?
By the way,
there he is.
If you're shopping in California and Los Angeles and whatever, some of the bigger cities, even like New York and Florida and, you know, wherever, and you go inside, this is inside the store, by the way, and you go to swipe a card on one of those, like, the scanner things that you, like, you do in self-checkout now and all of that.
Yeah.
Check the card reader. Give it a grab it at the top, give it a little tug, whatever it is you got to do, because they're putting skimmers on those things now. Inside the store.
What skimmers?
So people get your information off of it.
It gets your card number, and when you punch in your PIN, it records your PIN number too.
Oh God, listen to me. You can. I don't want to do. I am not doing self checkout if you paid me. Even if I wait in line, I wait for a lady to do it, and I pay her some cash, and you know. But I'm not doing any self checkout stuff. That is absolutely absurd now.
No, John. Here's how these things work.
Please help me here. Okay.
Okay. You got the regular one where you put your card in and you punch your PIN in and do whatever, right? These guys build an exact duplicate and stick it right on top of the real one. And when you run your card in, you think you're running it into the regular thing. This whole fake front is full of electronics. It's reading your card. And when you punch your number in, the buttons are designed so that it'll punch the real ones and they read your card and they read your PIN number too. When so some guys, some standing around somewhere, picking up all that information and going like, okay, let's empty that guy's bank account. Done.
Seriously?
Yeah. They have people who didn't realize that they had been scammed who are on EBT cards, and their EBT cards are drained the second that the money gets put in the account.
Uh-oh. Now, because I just used one of those last night.
Yeah, I always, every guest, I don't even care, even out here where it usually doesn't happen, I always grab a hold of the where you, like, even like at a gas pump, where you put your card in, I always grab a hold of some part of it, and I give it a good yank, and I want to make sure that thing is a real one. Because the skimmers will pop off. So when you go into...
Really?
Yeah. Because they're only stuck on there. They're not, like glued on or anything. You know, these guys, when they come into the stores, they caught them on video. These guys, it takes them 2 seconds to pop the skimmer onto the card reader, and they're out the door. And when people, and it's Bluetooth enabled, so when the people are punching in all their information and running their cards, there's a guy standing outside, you know, whatever, panhandling money or whatever, and he's got his phone or whatever connected to Bluetooth, and they're gathering all your information while he's out standing outside panhandling or begging or whatever.
Oh,
do you think
God.
The stores know about this stuff?
They do now.
Well, good.
Wow.
They need to know.
When you go into the store and you get to those self checkout lines, grab a hold of the reader and just give it a quick yank at the top. Grab it like at the top and see if the thing pops off.
I'm going to do that, and then I'll get arrested and stuff. You told
me. No, you don't have to try to wreck it. You just have to give it like a little bit of a tug. And if a skimmer is on it, it'll pop off.
Really? That easily? Yep. You know what's really weird is they stopped the for about, I don't know, almost a year, they stopped all the self-checkout stuff because they said people were stealing stuff and
reading. They wouldn't scan in some of the items and they'd just shove them in their bags.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Probably. Listen, guys, it's crazy. Let me tell you this one. I heard up in San Francisco, because they've shut so many stores because the thievery and the crime is so bad in San Francisco, that the government now is going to put a government grocery store in San Francisco.
Oh, that's going to work out well.
Right, exactly. So totally mark of the beast. I mean, I won't even go there. Yeah, they'll want
the
everything.
Government... When has the government been able to run anything efficiently?
Right. Well, yeah. It's
I mean,
bad.
Name it. Anything at all. Any government program that's out there is run like a sack of shit, and everybody knows it.
Right.
I'm glad you said that, because it's true. Yeah, troublemakers. Make life difficult for all of us.
Can you imagine the government trying to run a grocery store? How badly that would be going?
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't understand why our grocery store lost $1 million last week.
They're selling poison food all day long. Selling Lucky Charms.
It's because they're government employees and they're incompetent at doing anything in the private sector. Period. I mean, that's just it. That's why you think Joe Biden spent fifty years in government because he would be good at anything in the private sector? He'd have been fired in a heartbeat. He was an idiot.
Also, too, I heard in San Francisco, Nick, they're raising the bridge to go into San Francisco. Is it the San Francisco Bridge?
Yeah, Golden Gate.
Golden Gate. It's going to cost like $20.
Something like that.
How many people get to go into San Francisco?
Well, yeah, just to go to work, you have to pay all that not just your gas money, but you got to pay all that extra money just to cross the bridge.
They raised the bridge tax and all this, but yeah, I don't see how people can pay this. I don't see how you're going into San Francisco.
San Francisco's a nightmare anyway. You're paying
it is now. It's even worse.
You're paying like the most premium prices one of the most premium prices in the country to live in basically a shithole.
Right. It's bad.
I'm going to pay $6.5 million to live in this tower that's falling down. Literally, this brand new tower. They didn't do the foundation right, so it started tipping over. They had to tip it back.
God.
And now the thing is like getting all cockeyed and whatever. Pay $6.5 million. Nancy Pelosi. That's not a selling point.
So it's crazy stuff going in San Francisco.
Nancy Pelosi's husband hammers.
Did they redo the Golden Gate Bridge after that earthquake? Remember the pancake earthquake? That was horrible.
Yeah,
They definitely had to have structural engineers come out there and take a look at it.
Ah, good.
Anyway, Mark, we got on, so how's it going?
Okay. Mark?
What's up? I wanted to go back to the term medium risk. Minimal risk in my best estimation of how the eugenics medical system works is minimal risk would be anything up to not dying. So you suffer anything but you still live. That's minimal risk. If you die, then that's maximum risk. But anything up to that's going to be minimal risk.
Thank you for
That is probably how.
Well, they got to change all those late night commercials.
Yeah,
they got to change all those late night medicine commercials when they run all the side effects, and put a header of one: minimal risk, everything; maximum risk, death.
Yeah.
See how short that would be. They got room for the commercial then. That's good.
Well, the other thing is that people, and this is a serious note, checking for actual risk of any kind of medication, injection, whatever, just look for black box warnings. The more black box warnings it has, the more lethal it is.
Mm.
And
that's
if you got one black box warning, that's bad. But if you have like three or four, you should not go near whatever that substance is.
Well, how do you find out? Can you go to the pharmacy and go, how many black box warnings do these have?
You ask them for the insert, and then you ask them to open the insert, and then you ask them, where are the black box warnings on the insert? And then you look at them.
Oh, really?
We already know that the COVID vaccine didn't have any.
None.
Yeah, right.
I've asked so many pharmacies, and they look like a scared beaver when I look at them. They're like, nothing. You know, but this is ridiculous, man. That's been the worst, the COVID thing. There's still people in line, by the way. I went to CVS yesterday. They're still waiting for their just jabs. I can't believe it.
They're advertising the ammonia shot and the flu shot. Yeah, just horrible stuff. Horrible stuff.
Yes, the cootie shot. That's coming up. Yeah.
I might have gotten the girl touched
part
me.
One, part two.
You need your cootie shot.
There
that's
you
right.
Go.
The crotch crickets are coming. Yeah, this is all stupid. I am so over all of it.
I'm sure you're not over what happened to our skies today, John. I mean, it was a classic.
Oh, I'm not over it. Believe me, I'm not.
It was a classic geoengineering operation over the South Bay today. I mean, at about 2:30.
I recorded the phone.
At 2:30, there were X's all over the sky. Usually, they don't do that. Usually, they try to be a little bit more non-obvious. But today, it was obvious. Today was very obvious what they were doing. And then afterwards, you could see those HAARP cloud formations being made.
Oh, my God. They're still being made right now. Look at our sky.
Yeah,
clouds get into a wave formation.
Yeah, it looks exactly like a wave. It looks like a corrugated pattern in the sky.
Right, exactly.
Right, and it goes from the ocean. eastbound as far as you can see. And the thing is, I was talking to four different people, two women and two men.
Okay.
And one woman looks up and says, look at how pretty the clouds look. I go, that's not pretty.
Oh.
I go, that's geoengineering. Yeah. Oh, come on. It's just the clouds, right? So I tell one of the guys who has his phone, I go, punch in HR 2977 and see if this is fantasy. And he starts reading it.
Ooh.
He goes, chemtrails. I go, yeah, that's geoengineering. But they use that term in the bill, right? And,
yeah.
You know, goes back 23 years, October 2nd, 2001.
So what did you
Dennis
say?
The guy
Mark,
looked it up and he goes, oh, my gosh.
What was the number
goes,
of that bill again?
It's H.R. 2977. It's a Space Preservation Act. It's
right,
the
okay.
original
got
draft.
It.
Oh, boy.
Okay. And if you look, go to it went to the first session of the 107th Congress, and it says here, to preserve the cooperative peaceful uses of space for the benefit of all mankind, what a joke, by permanently prohibiting the basing of weapons in space by the United States and to require the president to take action to adopt and implement a world treaty banning space-based weapons. Then you go down to the definitions of weapons. Right?
Ooh.
This is what's really funny. You go to Section 7 under definitions, right? And it says here, here we go. Section 7, definitions. In this act, and people should know this act by heart because it's still in the congressional record from 2001, October 2nd. It says, in this act, the term space means all space extending upward from the altitude greater than 60 kilometers above the surface of the Earth and any celestial body in such space. The terms weapon and weapon systems mean a device capable of any of the following. And this is what's important, right? Because we're seeing all this shit, you know, space-based weapons, or they're saying, certain people are saying those lasers are being launched off of aircraft. So no matter what, they're still in airspace. So anyway, it says damaging or destroying an object, whether in outer space, in the atmosphere, or on Earth, firing one or more projectiles that collide with that object, detonating one or more devices in close proximity to that object, directing a source, including, get this, molecular, atomic, subatomic, particle beams, radiation, plasma beams, or extremely low and ultra-low frequency radiation against an object or any other acknowledged or undeveloped means, inflicting death or injury on or destroying a person or biological health, mental health, or physical health of that being, right? And it goes on and on and on. But it says, by expelling chemical or agents in the vicinity of a person, such terms include exotic weapon systems, electronic, psychotronic, and guess what? Your favorite, John, chemtrails. And that's Section 7.
That.
Yeah. So they even called it by its generic name, chemtrails. They didn't even bother to call it.
Well, that's what their whole booklet's about. There's a whole Air Force booklet called chemtrails.
Yeah but the thing is, when people try to deny it, you just got to pull this up.
I do. They still don't.
No, chemtrails don't exist, even though there it is.
Yeah, but you gotta look at the technology that's used for geoengineering is not only used to geoengineer our atmosphere. Look at Fukushima and how they had that tsunami done. I talked to several experts about that tsunami, and I said, was this directed energy from like HAARP or some facility like that? And they said, absolutely. I said, that was not an organic occurrence. And we look at Fukushima, we look at Katrina, we look at what happened in Maui, right? We look at what happened up in Paradise, California.
Yeah.
I mean,
this
on and on.
All.
These weapon systems are being used. Plasma, electromagnetic.
You bet they are. There's no doubt.
Laser weapon systems. Yeah. And then it says here,
microwave.
Weapons,
microwave.
Get this, laser-based weapons, right? Strategic theater, tactical or extraterrestrial weapons. extraterrestrial weapons. Yeah,
I believe that.
Yeah, and that this bill was written right 23 years ago.
I'm surprised you found that.
Oh, I'd known about it. I talked to Kucinich when the bill first came out.
Yeah, I need people to know that, though, that extraterrestrial stuff is happening here. This is not our Air Force dreaming all this up. They got something, whether it's from entities from underground, whatever it is. This is not our thinking. You know, it's just
not. We've got to remember there are a lot of blues and grays and Draco reptilians on this planet.
That I have to believe because it's not human what's going on.
You've got to remember this. We did an interview with David Adair a while back.
Okay.
And he told us when, you know, he got canned almost immediately, but he told us they brought him into some hangar, I think it was an underground one at some remote area.
Area 51, yeah.
Yeah, and they brought him up to this thing, and they said, we need you to help us reverse engineer it. And according to him, it was an alien spacecraft.
He climbed up on top of it. And he got on it, and he goes, he looked right at him and said, okay, this isn't ours. Where'd you get it?
Yeah.
Yeah, hello.
And the way he said it looked, it's like the technology was way beyond anything we have. So.
Of course. I mean, I totally believe that. I mean, we aren't the only thing here. Come on.
Well, and you got to remember Lazar.
We're stupid. Bob Lazar,
if you remember Bob Lazar, yeah, when he...
I do. I remember him very well, and I don't think he's lying about what he's talking
about.
Well,
he talked about taking a piece of stable element 115. Now, from everything that I read about that back in the day, we have never been able to produce a stable element 115 on our own. So where did he get a hold of it? You know,
well,
and he gets raided all the time, from what I've heard too. They constantly
going after him. Of course
they're going
after him. Of course they are. Look what he's doing.
The thing that I would like to add to this conversation is, I asked Bill Deagle on this show.
Yeah.
You know, we know that the Black Nobility, we know that the Vatican, we know that the Rothschilds, we know that CFR, we know World Economic Forum.
Yeah.
They're all of these eugenicists, but who is at the top of the ladder directing them? And I'll never forget,
yeah,
he said it was the Draco reptilians that were
I believe
at the top
that.
Of the food chain. And they're not human. And you got to remember, the human race is considered very stupid compared to these other species or off-world beings, right? Because they observe us and they see how damaging we are to ourselves, right? But the other thing you have to remember is, especially when you think about the Cannibal Club here in L.A. where they're eating human flesh for dinner.
I've heard about that, and I talked about that today with somebody.
Yeah. And
is that real?
They say
it is. So here's the deal. Why are they eating human flesh? Reptilians are known to thrive on eating human flesh. That's why we see so many kids disappearing off the planet. Millions of kids disappear off this planet, and no one knows where they go. They're becoming food for these creatures.
You got to also remember the guy that ran the Cannibal Club got busted because he kidnapped some girl or whatever and drained her blood out and was selling it off to the highest bidder or something like that. And he got caught, and yeah, you're doing some prison time there, buddy.
Yeah, well, the club's still open, though.
Yeah, I know. They never shut the club down, though. That's the amazing thing.
How do we get in there? I mean, I'm not going to eat anybody.
I want to
find out. I want to know if they give fries with that, at least.
Yeah.
This is so.
Yeah, can I have a?
I've heard about.
Okay, can I have
pickles?
Can I have an order of William with a side order of fries?
Oh,
Well, what's
no
bizarre
onion.
About
no onion.
What's bizarre about it is
no,
that
serious.
we're going into a period of time where cannibalism will become an option for people that aren't do not have access to food. Okay, and when they look at these people, and I can clearly see that anybody who's eating there are direct disciples of people like Abramovich, right? That witch Abramovich, right? And she does all that freaking spirit cooking, right? Well, the Cannibal Cafe is doing it for real, right?
Why do you think they're trying to deprive us? Why do you think they're trying to create a food shortage? I mean, it only takes.
God.
They've done that. They've looked back at all the times when people were getting starved out. It takes about a week to 10 days before people start eating each other. Literally. Look at what's going on in Haiti right now.
Oh, God.
Okay, look what happened in Ukraine during Holodomor. Okay, when you people start getting hungry, they will turn on each other and use each other for food.
Yeah. Things start looking good when they didn't before, yeah. Yeah,
That whole thing about, man, she's looking pretty good, that's going to take on a whole different meaning.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to be looking at her elbow.
I wanted to, this is from the Cannibal Club, and they have a quote here. It says, whenever a taboo is broken, something good happens, something vitalizing, right? It says, our exclusive clientele includes noted filmmakers, Satanists, intellectuals, more Satanists, celebrities, more Satanists, who have embraced the Enlightenment ideas of free expression and rationalism. That's bullshit. On the event nights, avant-garde performing artists, celebrated literary figures, and groundbreaking musicians entertain our guests. At Cannibal Club, we celebrate artistic excellence as natural and inevitable expression of unbridled human spirit, right? And then their facts are, look at what they say here. Isn't cannibalism wrong? Cannibalism is traditionally practiced, usually shows respect to the deceased, who is desired to be reborn into the living or offered as a worthy sacrifice to some deity, more Satanism. It is never our practice to debase or objectify human life. Arguments against arguments against cannibalism are typically grounded in ignorance. Typically grounded in ignorance, cultural precedence, and nonsensical spiritual beliefs. Now, get this. This is funny.
You know, that's what every group says when they want to claim being a victim.
Yeah, get this. Doesn't cannibalism cause disease? Well, prion diseases of the nervous system, such as Carew, are associated with the consumption of brain tissue, which is not part of our menu. Who the hell cares? Yeah, you're eating a leg and thigh.
Wait. We don't want to desecrate the human body. You're literally turning the human body into human shit.
Now, get this. What is the address to Cannibal Club? This is what's really, really tricky, right? And
that's
what's funny,
what I'd like to know.
If you look in the picture, they show a picture of a man eating something, and obviously it's freaking some kind of human meat. And then to his side, there's a little kid, and they're both naked.
Oh,
yeah, these people are really in life. Now get this. It says here, what is your address to the Cannibal Club? It says, introduce yourself through our contact page, and we will send you information about our membership process. It is necessary for us to operate privately and to vet our members in order to avoid disruption from the less enlightened. They won't even tell you their freaking address, man. That place should be shut down.
What does that tell you? Give me a break here. I know there's some actors and stuff that have eaten at that place.
But remember, reptilians, thrive on human meat.
They are
now,
there.
Why,
I know they're here. I believe
so
me.
Why,
they're here.
Why are all these celebrities so happy to go there and eat?
Because their eyes are turning into lizard shit. And
yeah.
they're here. Then the real ones are gone.
They're probably all shape shifting at dinner and smiling at each other.
Yeah, they but probably that, are. Licking flies off the wall.
The thing that's scary about this is they're trying to make it look like it's enlightened and chic and progressive.
Well, we're the morons.
Eat human beings, and we're the morons, exactly. And,
yeah.
and the funny
yeah.
thing about this is that when we look at the people that we're familiar with that are involved in adrenochrome and human sacrifice, they not only drink the blood, they also eat the flesh of these people that they murder.
This is so creepy.
That's bizarre. And the thing is, how do you know the person who's being donated there, if they're so secret that they won't even tell you their address on their website, right?
Yeah, and where are they getting the food supply? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, well, it says here, what does human flesh taste like? I can't believe they're even saying this. It says, when prepared by us, unbelievable. Of the meat of the meats you're likely to find in store, pork is the closest match. Think about
that. I won't even eat that. But
yeah,
it says
our avenues of procurement vary. Most of the business and institutions who supply us prefer to keep those relationships discreet. On the individual level,
I bet.
Bodies are often bequeathed to us. For some, this is a way to supplement life insurance and offset funeral expenses. For others, such as a Cannibal Club member, Gwyneth Lean Finwich, who was served to her friends ate her for dinner at relatives at the club in January 2008, being prepared as a meal and thereby reborn into the bodies of the living is an attractive alternative and more traditional practices than more of the traditional practice such as burial or cremation. In other words, they say that the temple for the soul is worthless. It's only good for meat consumption and for people to reconsume their friends. What's scary about think about how many people they could take out and put into restaurants like this or put into the Human Meat Project where they say people donate.
They're
their
probably
bodies.
Already doing it.
That is bizarre.
Would like to see more about that. Yeah, this is too much. This is way too much.
Yeah, but it's for real. That's the part
I'm not saying that I don't believe it. Believe me, I do believe it. But these clowns
are
in the kitchen.
And the fact that they're saying that it's a way for people to be reborn by their family and their friends eating them for dinner.
Yeah, crapping them out.
This is like out of one of the best Rod Serling movies ever. The Twilight
it is.
Zone,
and then you're crapping.
Crazy.
Then you're listen. Check this out. Then they're crapping them out and flushing them down the toilet. What a tribute! Bye, Grandma. Nice. This is insane.
I want to try their placenta lasagna. It sounds good.
You know what? I like the belly button sandwich was really good. I had that there the other night. It was really good. Give me a
stop. Think about 85,000 children crossing the border that are no longer counted.
Well, there you go, right in the restaurant.
Just think. I wouldn't doubt if several of them end up in the Cannibal Club. I would not doubt it. But here's the thing. How can you track that? Also think about the safely surrender your child program. No one even questioned that.
I just want to know one thing, though. I mean, really, do they have a barbershop upstairs?
I don't know because I don't eat there.
Oh, come on. You got to be careful when you order the child's meal, too, by the way. It's a little scary.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, what do you want? Do you want the adult human flesh or do you want the kid's human flesh? That's crazy. Yeah. But I wouldn't.
It's not child human flesh. It's called veal.
Oh, yeah.
Well, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, right?
Yeah. Well,
when it says here, isn't cannibalism wrong? No, it's fine. Yeah, right. Cannibalism, as traditionally practiced, usually shows respect to the deceased. How can you show respect to the deceased, right, if you're eating them? I don't call that respect. That's bizarre. But
if you're pooping them out, that's not showing anything.
The funny thing about this, again, it's bending language to fit a narrative. And people will say, well, it's not that bad. Look, it's good for the earth. We're not wasting land. And plus, the people are donating their body for others to eat. I'm just like, are you kidding me? Are you that stupid?
Please.
Yeah, well, people are that stupid.
Oh, they are.
The other thing I wanted to mention, did anybody listen to the war correspondent with the special report with Cliff High?
No.
Did you guys put any of that on? It had to do with the solar eclipse and also the Baltimore Bridge falling.
Well, the bridge thing is a big...
Yeah, did you get that link from me, Nick? Did you get an email from me, Nick?
I got the one where they did the enhanced video.
Okay.
Of the ship hitting the bridge.
More stupid ship.
Did you get the one with Cliff High?
I don't know. I don't know if that was him or not. It was a narrated version of, and it repeated the same clip over and over and over again of the ship hitting the bridge.
Nah. Well, let me throw on a little bit of this for you guys for what happened in Baltimore. These guys come out with some pretty good observations.
Good. I like to hear it.
So we'll just hang on a second here.
Who's Cliff High? Sounds like a stuntman.
Well, he's a pretty interesting guy. Here we go. It's the war correspondent, and it's a special report. And this was a day ago, so this is going to be pretty important. They go into a lot of shit, but might as well get it out there because it's good stuff.
Okay.
Jason at 4, you can find him, of course, Joe.
The idea that this was a terrorist attack off the table, and absolutely, we cannot do that.
All right. So, Joe, I think our guest is here, so I'm going to introduce our guest. We'll come back here to some of this mainstream news coverage after that. Let me just quickly change slide decks here for a second. Present your screen. Yes. And then we're back up here. Okay, so guys, with us tonight, of course, is the Grand Master Wu himself, Mr. Cliff High. Of course, you can find his work on Twitter, and you can also find him on his Substack. Mr. High, you're looking, I dare I say, 20 years younger since the last time we saw you. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty good, guys. I've been working out.
You look absolutely amazing, Cliff. Thank you so much for being on. Thank you for sending Joe and I an email this morning here talking about this specific event. I know you've been working in your shop all day trying to get through all of this data that you had run a couple of weeks ago. I know you were late looking at all of that with everything going on in your life. So a big thank you for you spending that time today. We're still triple casting right now, Cliff, on YouTube and also on Twitter before we move into Rumble here. So while we're still here on YouTube, can you take a moment to explain? You put out quite a few tweets this morning, but you were suggesting that things are going to get a lot weirder here in the next couple of days and weeks. Let's have that delicate conversation here maybe for the next couple of minutes. What do you mean by that? And then we'll continue here with the live coverage and the deeper analysis here of your WebBot data on Rumble.
Okay, so to give you an indication, okay, to give you an idea of the intensity that you're going to start feeling for April, and you'll feel it that first week. Actually, we're feeling it now. We're looking at a period of time that has, in a sidereal astrology, where you're not looking Earth-centric, but you're looking solar system-centric. But if you're looking at sidereal astrology, we're coming into a time where there's these alignments of planets that we haven't seen for over 2,000 years. Okay, so it is like all that kind of tension has built up, and it's going to come crashing out this coming, well, we're in it now for these next 19 or 20 months. So
okay.
The chaos that we're experiencing now is the ramp up, and we can expect it to do at some point, and I actually think that'll be on Hitler's birthday, April 20th, but at some point we'll catch a Fibonacci sequence, right? So it'll be a case of one day, and then you have an event, and then you have an event of the same magnitude the next day. But then the day after that, you have a magnitude that's double, because it's the addition of those two previous events. And then so it goes, you know, 3, 5, 8, et cetera, right? And
right.
So it really starts ramping up. And we're going to see the shock level of it in late April. But for those people that are aware of what's going on, you'll see the precursors of all of that coming out that first week in the ramp up to the eclipse.
So we're feeling it now. You were suggesting that perhaps some people that were very sensitive were actually feeling it already in January, perhaps December of last year. I think for the most part here of this audience, we're feeling it in April. And you were suggesting that that was also a setup here for perhaps June or July for the mass awakening here of the rest of the population. Now, before we go too far, we're still here on YouTube. I want you to explain where in your data, and if you can, if you looked at it today, where we find ourselves here in this emotional release language. You had originally forecasted this 81 delta. We've been right. incrementally increasing that over the last couple of months. Where are we today, and where do you see that moving perhaps here in the next week or so as we get closer to the April 8th eclipse?
Okay, so I'm actually expecting – all right, so right now we're in the building tension phase that will accommodate that forecast by turning into release language because of circumstances, an event, a sudden change. I expect that to occur on the day of the eclipse, but to maybe not be really visible until the next day, until that following Tuesday. I say that because they're going to have so much closed on Monday the 8th that maybe some of the effects of this will be delayed. But I'm expecting something akin to, I think it was 1987 Black Monday in the stock market, 22% drop in a single day. I lived through that. I was working at Fisheries at that time, and I remember how many of the middle and upper level management people were ready to slit their bellies because they thought their, you know, all their savings and everything had been wiped out, right? I was just a kid then, relatively to these guys who are in their 40s and 50s, so I didn't really grasp the impact on their lives. But I'm expecting something on that order of magnitude.
Okay. That seems to fall in line with Joe's latest dream also about April. We'll get into all of that. Folks, let me just bring you the link down in the live chat. If you're still watching us here on YouTube, please move over now to the Rumble conversation here so we can continue that unhindered. So I'll say farewell to you on YouTube here, and we will continue on Rumble only. Okay, so we're now live on Rumble and Twitter. Hopefully we could have this uninterrupted conversation tonight. We have a lot of data to go through. I wanted to go back almost a year with you here, Cliff, when this happened. This was one of your posters you had put out suggesting, hey, you guys are at war, ping, hello. We had to look at a different reality moving forward. This was the inception, of course, of the War Correspondent Report. To some extent, I think the media has been somewhat able to lull people back into sleep based on some of these events and the timing afterwards. But it looks now that this wind is shifting very, very quickly. Do you agree with that statement? And where do we find ourselves now with respect to one of your WebBot data reports that suggested that at some point here in the near future, the SOC, the Self-Organizing Collective, would make itself visible to the rest of the population? Are we almost here now? Plot this through here, this war effort. Where are we now, Cliff?
We're very close to that point of revealing of the SOC. Now, that's going to – they don't want to do that. They do it because they're sort of exposed, and they figure they had to set out some level of explanation for that exposure, right?
Right.
And so that's when they will – they'll come out to a certain extent and say, yeah, this business is going on, right, or has been ongoing.
Right.
Okay, and I would suspect that will be following April 20th, right, following the crash of or the collision of the old civilization that we're living in now with the new civilization that is being given birth here through this process, right? And so that collision is going to be a great shock. That shock's going to reverberate all through May, and it'll be the awakening shock for the normies that will really jolt them awake cumulative in June or so.
Is that what you meant, Cliff, earlier today with this particular tweet, Baltimore Bridge equals Pearl Harbor 2.0? I got a lot of flack retweeting that earlier today, people saying, oh, hey, come on, guys, you're fear-mongering. It's nowhere close to I don't think we understand yet the ramification of what just happened today. The media seems to be not all on the same page of where they want to go with the narrative. It's still forming as it is now. Why are you making this statement? Explain what's behind this.
So when Pearl Harbor happened, it was almost 2 weeks before there was any kind of a consensus across the United States that it wasn't a fake attack. There were still newspapers. It was on all the newspapers, but the penetration of the news at that level in that day was such that there were still people writing in their journals that they just heard about it 2 weeks later in Maine, you know, that kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're in a period of time here where we're in hyper novelty. So no one's going to really believe anything. So you'll get all of the media out there trying to promulgate some form of a story, but this one's going to be very difficult for them because of the nature of where we're at relative to the interest that must be protected by the corruption that's in power at the moment. Okay, so it's extremely complex. So about 6 years ago, you can start finding articles, web posts, blogs that were put out about the discovery of how easy it is to hack container ships. Okay, technology is not that difficult because the container ships, by their nature, in order for things like Amazon to be able to tell you when you're going to get your package, all of these incredible level of sophisticated convenience electronics have to have a continuous satellite connection for these ships all the way across wherever. And then just so they can get the same level of connection to all of the little barcodes on all of the containers and on the barcodes on the stuff inside, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So this is all driven by an incredible continuous stream that is basically the internet. So the part of the internet that we're using right now is less than 3% of the entire bandwidth of the internet. All right, so most of it is all of this digital traffic between digital devices, and it really impacts. So when we bring on something like AI that has to have a certain level of resources devoted to it, it may, because we're coming out of that 3% that is the visible internet, it may really impact the other part of the internet if those resources are not there. And so we get this interesting little blend of dealing with all of these circumstances. So now these ships can actually be sunk en route. If you know how to hack these boats, you can hack the boats. And the very first clue that the boat is hacked is the power goes out. Okay. Because at that point you have to convert the operational system over to this emergency system that they've got that you can control from the satellite, and it takes it away from the devices on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you could just open up all of the automated drains in the bottom of the boat and let it sink if you want.
Right.
Right. Or in this case, steer it right towards the weakest member. Now, if you look at this, they try and get hold of it, and then something kicks out that back of that engine. Right. And then it loses power again. But then right at that point, it hits the weakest member of the bridge. It was not just a straight on collision. It wasn't drifting. It was steered. Mm-hmm. It was actually accurately steered as though it was a missile. So this woman I know of, I can't think of her name at the moment, wrote a really good article about 6 or 7 years ago about how she was worried about these things in Puget Sound, less so there, but also the Columbia River and the waterways around Los Angeles, because container ships could just be made, she said, to disconnect from their controls and be steered. She used the San Francisco bridge. She said, you know, it could just be steered right into one of the giant pylons for the San Francisco bridge. Now, it wouldn't necessarily bring that down, right? Because those bridges are set on basically little islands, and so their pylons are back a ways from the water.
Right.
But also note here, there was no attempt to, that we're aware of, that we can see any indication of, there was no attempt to throttle back. So it was not under human, in my opinion, okay, as somebody who's a sailor, as somebody who actually trained in the Merchant Marine, right, and worked on oceanographic vessels and had a rating, in my opinion, that was not under manual steerage at that point, because you would have assumed they would have seen what the hell was going on, and you would have also assumed that everybody in there was reaching for that control to start, you know, maximum.
Reverse gears, Captain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't, it steers at the last minute. It turns slightly to impact that weakest member and bring it down the small section in order that the large section will fall.
So you just mentioned 7 or 6 years ago, these articles coming out on how easy that was. Now, on top of that, of course, is the predictive programming from this movie, Leave the World Behind. We did a decode on that when it came out in December. And what was interesting in that, there is a clip here of people on vacation at the beach looking at this big tanker heading straight for the beach, presumably here having lost control. But we learn later on in the film here that it is indeed a cyber attack. And they're being used, these ships, as directed weapons here throughout the film. So too are the Tesla cars. Now, when you go back and look at that too, and I want Joe's input on all of this, there's another video here we're going to show afterwards where it appears too that there might have been strategic explosives placed on stress points at the bridge, and that those went off at exactly the precise time as the boat hit as well. So there's going to be some more decode on there. But first, your thoughts on this predictive program. Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
They're saying the name of that boat, I think, was called White Lion.
Yeah, let me scroll back one or two.
And there's some, and the container ship also, I think.
Yeah, this one here. So basically, the ship that crashed into the Francis Scott Bridge in Baltimore was headed to Sri Lanka. The flag of Sri Lanka is a lion. And yes, the one in the movie was called the White Lion. So there seems to be some connection there. Some people are
losing. Stop right there. Okay. Also, all right. So also, the guy who was the previous captain of the ship that hit the bridge was Ukrainian, okay? Mm-hmm. And it just so happens that guy is related to people that are Serbian that are now under suspicion for messing around with machines they shouldn't have.
The plot thickens, Captain.
Right. Okay. The Ukrainian fellow's last name is unfortunate, because it's going to get him linked to several members of the Ukrainian intelligence service that also have associations with Serbia.
Right. Now, is that in all of this a red herring, so to speak? Because we saw the one of the spy chiefs of the SFB of Russia here earlier today suggest that they were under their position now was that Ukraine, the UK, and the US were responsible for the terror attack in the Moscow theater. Just as we're now faced with this particular event, were they kind of suggesting here through this news that, hey, this is a little bit of tit for tat? Or are we going way past this here if we're looking at the war with the World Economic Forum and the front of the war with the Elohim? Where does this all tie in for you, Cliff?
Okay, so at some point, the regime here is going to have to acknowledge that this was not an accident. Okay, that's, they have to overcome a lot of hurdles to do that, but they will acknowledge that it's not an accident. At that point, there will be another Russia attempt to say that it was the Russians that did it in retaliation for the mistaken understanding that we did the op in Moscow.
So anyway, that's a take on what happened at the Baltimore Bridge. But it does look
suspicious. Where can people find that, Mark?
It's on Rumble, and it's called The War Correspondent Special Report with Cliff High, and then it says JS, NIP4, and Gene Claude. And this was one day ago, and it's on Rumble.
Thank you.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but, these guys are saying it looks like this.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. So anyway, this thing goes much longer, but we don't have a lot of time for it tonight. But they are, the gist of it is they're saying this was a planned op, and that, you know, you could clearly see the power go off and on that ship before it hit that certain support on the bridge, and then everything just went. And as fast as it went, I mean, it looked like dominoes. It went so fast. So
it was like
just
5 or 8 seconds, and the whole bridge was down.
Yeah,
I also found out today that there's a battleship on the other side trying to get out, and it can't get out of port because there's a battleship there.
Well, the other thing is they can't use that waterway until they clear all the debris out of the water.
Right.
You know.
And I said in the beginning of the show, I said I'd be calling the Military Corps of Engineers, and Nick said also that, but also anybody who can possibly help, they should immediately be doing absolute cleanup, getting it out now. But under the Biden administration, I don't think they're doing jack, you know what? It's just a quagmire.
Well, the thing is, it's going to affect the economy of the United States, because that's like the second largest port in the United States.
Right.
So you can imagine all the commerce that's going to have to be rerouted, all of the delays that are going to happen. And not only that, a lot of people that commuted across that bridge are going to have to go all the way around however they can on surface streets or highways or whatever they
because
got over there. They can't go straight across that bridge anymore.
Right. Because that's like the Mason-Dixon line that from the north and the south. I mean, it's actually really pretty historical.
Well, yeah, Mason-Dixon's a little bit north of there. Anyway, we're out of time, guys.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Right.
And we'll see you Tuesday. God bless, and hold on.
And stay away from Cannibal Cafe.
Yes.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Going back in?
There's still men out there.
God damn.
When I go home, people ask me, hey, Hoot, why do you do it, man? Why? Some kind of war junkie? I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. want to understand why we do it. They want to understand it's about the men next to you. And that's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, #1 listener-supported radio, the printing press for freedom.